This recent report is looking at red meat and processed meat. And what they conclude is that processed meat, things like hot dogs, bacon, ham, do increase the risk of getting colon cancer. When they looked at red meat, there they said it probably increases the risk of getting colon cancer. The level of evidence wasn't as strong.
It's clear that while they found some studies that found positive associations between meat and cancer, they found many more that found no association. So it's inconceivable to us, given the mixed evidence that they outline in their own abstract, that they could come out with a statement like this.
To have, you know, ground beef, one meal a day with meat in it, I don't see nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Matter of fact, I would say, in my opinion, would be good for you.
Trying to take bacon away from Canadians, that's almost like trying to take hockey away. Let's give them spinach instead. Take the rutabagas. Take the Brussels sprouts. But you can't take our bacon. Good afternoon, London. It is Monday, October the 26th, 2015. The show is called The Live Drive with Andy Udman. I love bacon, so let me declare my vested interest in this story, along with at least, I would say, half of Canadians. We're told even vegetarians sneak bacon on the side. The meat industry, as you can imagine, is seeing red today about this new warning about meat. You should know that in social media circles, this is one of the hottest stories around the world today. This WHO report on meat. What exactly does it say? And how new is the research? The meat industry is urging Canadians to take a deep breath, insisting this new study of earlier studies is pure bull. Clara Peller would have something to say about this.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
Yes. Remember Clara Peller? Let me ask you about red meat. Are you prepared, after hearing this report today on processed red meat, are you prepared to give up bacon, sausages, and salami? Let's do a little survey. Hands up if you, based on this report, are going to give up bacon, sausages, and salami. Just like I thought. Either you're very strict about my rule about hands on the wheel, or you're not going to give up bacon. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to hear from you. Are you prepared to give up bacon and sausages and salami, all processed meats, and maybe even red meat altogether because of this new report today? I'm not. What about you? Let's hear from you. 643-1290. I have a 4-year-old grandson who's even a baconator, I call him. The baconator. Loves bacon. Back with your thoughts in just a moment, right here on The Live Drive with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Some sobering news from the World Health Organization today about processed meat and cancer risks. The UN body says bacon, ham, and sausages are among the most carcinogenic substances, along with cigarettes, asbestos, and arsenic.
Wait a minute. Processed red meats in the same category as smoking. And asbestos. This is a nightmare for Canadians. Okay, we've heard hints, but this stuff today is so blunt about processed red meats. And I'm asking you, do you believe it? And are you running scared? Every single line is lit up. When you talk about bacon in Canada, you get people's attention. Mary, thanks for the call. Are you giving up bacon and sausages?
No.
They can't take that away from us, Mary.
No, they can't. I'll give up plutonium. I'll even give up cigarettes, but I'm not giving up bacon.
We can't give up bacon.
No. we're Canadian and we can't give it. I don't know where they're buying their bacon. Obviously not the same places as mine, because mine doesn't glow in the dark.
Is there such a thing, Mary, as organic bacon?
If you buy it from an organic farmer, I'm sure there is.
Actually, no. At least, yes and no. We're going to talk to the owner of Fieldgate Organics in just a few moments, and he gives us sort of a mixed. He's trying to get good organic bacon. But so what do you say, Mary, to this study of studies which says that processed red meats can give you cancer?
I don't agree. They're not a chance.
My dad ate so much meat and processed meat and bacon, and we buried him at 95. Just think, you know, if he hadn't eaten red meat, he might have been 130. plus he smoked till he was 70.
I know people who are vegetarians who have cancer, who have never eaten red meat in their life. So it doesn't compute.
I'm going to put you down as Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? You are not giving up bacon.
Not giving up bacon for anybody, nope.
Mary, great call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Reg. Hi, Reg.
Good afternoon, Andy. Thanks for taking my call. I've been eating bacon probably since 1956, but it has to be Schneider's bacon. And I had some good Mennonite salami yesterday from Waterloo County. So there you go, and I'm still around.
So what do you say about this report?
And Andy, I think it's a lot of bull crap. It's a lot of nonsense, you know. Andy, the government's trying to regulate everything that we see and do and eat. And do they follow their own rules? That's what I'd like to know. I doubt it.
Well, they're putting processed red meats in there with smoking and with asbestos as carcinogenic.
Andy, you ask any politician in Waterloo County, Mennonite country, I bet you they all eat bacon and eat that good Mennonite salami. I guarantee it.
There we go. Reg, great call. Appreciate it. Okay, there's another one who's not giving up bacon. Ann, appreciate the call.
Hi, Andy. I just find it incredible that it coincides with the invasion happening in Europe and all of the events in the world that suddenly bacon is the enemy. This organization is corrupt. It cannot be considered credible, and I think it's more pandering to Islam. I think that's exactly what all of this is. All of a sudden, bacon is this deathly thing, and pork and ham. It's definitely, in my opinion, coordinated with what is happening in worldwide events, and I'm not giving it up. I hope people start speaking out before Trudeau and this godforsaken government bans it, because they probably would, Andy.
And are you going to give Trudeau a wee bit of a chance? Let him be sworn in as prime minister and let him rule for one day before you're all over him? I think I know the answer. Okay, let's go to Mike.
Hey, Andy, I'll give up bacon. I'm not baking pies anymore. I'm not baking cakes anymore. I'm not baking potatoes anymore. But I'm eating those little strips of piggy.
Okay, so you're going to keep eating bacon and sausage and salami.
Damn straight, Skippy.
Oh, my goodness. The passion out there for bacon. I can't believe it. Walt, go ahead.
This isn't Walt. This is Tom.
Oh, Tom. Okay, I'm sorry, Tom. Go ahead.
That's okay. Do you remember a terrific musician, Joe Jackson? Her biggest hit was probably Look Sharp.
Yep.
Yeah, also had a song called Cancer. Everything gives you cancer. There's no cure. There's no answer. I'm eating what I want to eat, and I'm drinking out of a plastic bottle, and I don't care. We're here for, and to use another musical reference, we're here for a good time, not a long time. Are you happy? Are you comfortable? Does it taste good? That's the answer. Everything gives you cancer. You eat too much kale, I think you're going to get cancer.
I was not expecting to hear a theory that this is somehow kowtowing to the Islamist agenda. Maybe this is a vegetarian agenda. Maybe these are animal rights people who've...
that's a completely different story, and people shouldn't be throwing vinegar and hot water at animal rights activists.
No, that's true.
But we digress. Eat what you want to eat. Eat it in moderation. If I have a glass of scotch at night, that's a good thing. If I have 15 glasses of scotch, that's probably not a good thing. Right?
Very wise. Your brain is working very well based on all the bacon that
everything gives you cancer. Lighten up, folks. And I'll leave it there, Andy.
Okay, there we go. Okay, I want to bring into this discussion someone who has written about the subject. She has been on this program for years about this subject. I'm talking, of course, about author and nutritional consultant Pam Killeen. Hi, Pam.
Hey, Andy. How are you today?
I'm not good. I'm in shock. Actually, I'm not. I'm being totally facetious. Is there anything new here, Pam?
Oh, no. This has been information that has been, you know, pummeled at us now for a long, long time. Red meat is such a nuisance to produce that they'll go high and low to try and find reasons for us not to eat this stuff. They've been demonizing red meat now for a long, long time. There's just nothing new under the sun around this kind of campaign.
Let's be clear. What is this? What was this study of? It was a study of other studies. And what does the study say before we ask you what you think of what the study says?
Oh, it's basically categorizing red meat as being as unhealthy as cigarette smoking, as asbestos, as arsenic. And, I mean, you just cannot cluster red meat in that particular light. I mean, we're talking about an old-fashioned food. How could an old-fashioned food be causing modern disease? It just is completely illogical. If red meat were causing cancer, we wouldn't be listening to this news today. We'd all be dead. We wouldn't have been born because our ancestors ate lots and lots and lots of red meat. In order to really understand this phenomenon, you have to go back into food history. And when you go back into food history, you'll find out that, you know, for example, even in the 1800s, we were known as the nation of meat eaters. We ate a ton of red meat, and yet we were much healthier back then than we are today.
Okay, so let's distinguish, and I want to play a clip. And please, I know you're going to have both hands over your ears, but Richard Besser from ABC News... a clip of him. That'll get you going. Here we go.
This recent report is looking at red meat and processed meat. And what they conclude is that processed meat, things like hot dogs, bacon, ham, do increase the risk of getting colon cancer. When they looked at red meat, there they said it probably increases the risk of getting colon cancer. The level of evidence wasn't as strong.
Okay, so let me ask you about that distinction, Pam, between processed red meat and red meat. Let's take them one at a time. What about processed? And I know that you hate the word processed. You don't think we should eat anything that's processed if possible. Let's differentiate processed red meat as opposed to red meat.
Well, I think where animal foods are concerned, of course, people try to strive to get the gold standard, which is to get grass-fed beef, locally produced, and so on. And that the less it's manipulated by man, the better. I think that's what people try to strive for. If you can't quite get that gold standard, then you're going to be buying food from a grocery store where it's from factory farm sources and potentially even packaged that contain also some preservatives. Now, if that's the best you can do, then so be it. I still think it's better to eat, you know, the processed red meat than not to eat red meat at all. This is what I'm afraid about with regards to this type of fear-mongering, is that people won't eat red meat at all. And red meat is crucial in terms of, you know, giving us nutrients such as zinc and iron and carnosine and carnitine and CoQ10. I mean, these are nutrients that help us get energy in the body. And unfortunately, if you are afraid of eating red meat of all kinds, you could be causing a lot of malnutrition. Now, Andy, I want to also point out some information from the World Health Organization. And it basically is information that is around meat consumption and the occurrence of digestive cancers. And this is a big contradiction in terms of what they're saying here, because in this particular research that I'm looking at right now, if you look at meat consumption in the United States and compare it to meat consumption in Colombia, meat consumption in kilograms is going to be about 119 kilograms per person per year. And in Colombia, it's 37 kilograms. And yet the total amount of digestive cancers in the United States is far less than in Colombia, 4.6 per 1,000 versus 16.2 per 1,000.
What does that tell you?
So basically, it's telling me, you know, the rate of digestive cancers is very, very low in a country where we eat, moderate. We don't really eat a lot of meat, by the way, here in North America. But if you compare what we eat here in North America, we're getting far less digestive cancers than in a country like Colombia, where their meat consumption is far less they're getting more cancer where they're eating less red meat in Colombia. So it's completely contradicting, and that's information from the World Health Organization. So it's contradicting these claims that red meat causes cancer.
Very interesting. Hold the thought. I want some bounce some calls your way, if we could. Pam, let's go to Alan. Alan, your thoughts on this.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Pam, you're brilliant. You know, when they say processed meats, they include chicken, turkey, lamb, beef, pork. The one thing all of these things have got in common is preservatives. I wonder if preservative is the villain here. And if we're going to have a campaign going, shouldn't the slogan be, tongue-in-cheek, save our bacon?
Hey, bada bing, bada boom. There we go. Anything else, Alan, besides your funny line?
No, that'll do.
Okay. everybody's a comedian. Josie, go ahead.
Yes, I believe eating meat in moderation is best. Personally, I try to include it in my diet. I just don't have it every day. It's up to each person's own discretion, I believe. It's something that is a personal choice, but cutting it out of your diet, I don't think that's too wise. But again, it should be in moderation.
Will this study affect your eating habits at all, Josie?
No, it won't. I personally don't trust the World Health Organization entirely. I don't know where they're coming from. One study seems to cancel out the other. It's just something that each person has to decide on their own, basically, what they want to have in their diet. And I think moderation is the way to go.
Okay, Josie, I appreciate it. Even as we're speaking now, I mean, you just flip through all the news channels. I mean, there's a spokesman on right now about this issue of red meat on social media. Boom, it has just taken over. Pam, what do you think will be the impact of this study, given the huge, huge saturation media coverage it's getting today?
Well, unfortunately, it could impact consumers in that they will reduce their consumption of red meat. That is something that would be rather tragic. You know, as we have been reducing our consumption of red meat over the last several decades, of course, we're sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever before in the history of mankind. So it's not that we're eating too much red meat and that red meat has joined the dark side here. When we used to eat more red meat, we were actually much, much healthier. Now, we started confining animals several decades ago, and that is a part of the problem, there's no doubt. But at the same time, I know people who just don't have access to grass-fed beef. And if, again, what I mentioned earlier, if people can't access grass-fed meat and then they look at the demonization of commercial meat, they might not eat red meat at all. And that is not a good choice either.
Okay. Is there another issue? Of course, again, I keep coming back to if you can get meat straight from an organic farm in the area, would you say totally ignore this report today?
Well, I think that it would be wise to ignore the report anyway. I mean, I think that they would have done much greater benefit with their research money by investigating the connection between eating sugar and the development of cancer. You know, that's a far greater, wiser way to have spent money and time there. But I think people just need to ignore this kind of research and just calm down, chillax, and realize that when we ate 3 square meals a day, and that's when we used to eat bacon and eggs for breakfast and meat and potato style lunch and dinner, we were actually much healthier back then. It's unfortunate that since World War II, the language has changed so much. The dogma has changed so much around diet, and it really is dogma because it's not based on any reality or common sense, that most people today are believing in nutritional theories that are just that. They're just theories. There's no basis in history. There's no basis in real science. So what I have to encourage people to do when I talk to my students is always go back in history, and you'll see that when we ate lots of red meat, we were very, very healthy. And if you can get the gold standard and you can get the grass-fed, pasture-raised sources, that's wonderful. But please don't let this kind of research scare you off of all red meat.
Okay. What about the connection to cholesterol?
What connection?
Well, yeah, exactly.
There's no connection.
Exactly.
No, again, it's the, you know, cholesterol has been, again, wrongly demonized, and it's really got no connection at all with
it's interesting.
Heart disease.
I know a fellow who for years and years and years and years, his doctor said, your cholesterol's a bit high, your cholesterol's a bit high, and so he went really easy on bacon and eggs. And then along came Pam Colleen and said, it's got nothing to do with it, have all the bacon and eggs you want. And so he changed his habit and has had bacon and eggs every day virtually for the last several years. and he's just had a checkup, and his cholesterol is exactly where it should be. His blood pressure is exactly where it should be, and that someone is me. So I know.
Oh, that's good news. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, men who are in their 70s. You know, they start going back to eating an ancestral diet, and their cholesterol numbers normalize. I've lost count of how many times I've heard that happen.
Okay, in summary, what to do with that report today, Pam Colleen would say?
Throw it in the garbage. Throw it in the garbage.
Okay.
Don't pay any attention to it. Just eat 3 square meals a day.
Okay. Before we let you go, a couple of other health issues in the news today. Flu vaccines. Today's the day they launched the campaign. Steve Garrison still totally on board. I'm totally not on board. Pam Colleen, your thoughts?
Well, you know how I feel about the flu shot, Andy. It's just, you know, billions of dollars up in smoke. You know, the flu is nothing to panic over. You're supposed to get the flu. Unfortunately and tragically, some people are going to die because of complications due to the flu, and that's pneumonia. It's not the flu itself. So I remember once talking to a nurse who works at Dearness, and she said to me under her breath, she said, you know, I can't say anything at work, but when our residents get the flu shot, many of them die, and nobody asks any questions about that. So, you know, there's a lot of suppression of the truth, and even if people could dig deeply into the research, you'll see that there are many, many flaws in and around the science.
Isn't that interesting what you just said? Because I heard Steve Garrison on his show this morning saying that in some nursing homes, you have to take the flu shot, or you can't be in that nursing home.
Yeah, but these people, unfortunately, are getting the flu shot, and then they're dying anyway, and that's tragic, of course. But nobody's reporting on this. Nobody's acknowledging that these people are dying after they get the flu shot, that the flu shot was supposed to have protected them, but it didn't, right?
Okay, I want to just...
It's a reflection of, I'm sorry that, you know, we get weak as we age, and I'm sorry that we do die off. And the flu is usually one of the catalysts as to how and why we do die. But a flu shot is not protecting us from these types of things. It's just nature doing his or her thing, right? So I just want to point out here, Andy, that Canadian researchers revealed the studies showing that at the start of the 2009 pandemic, those who got the seasonal shot in 2008 and 2009 flu season were more likely to get infected with the pandemic than people who hadn't received it.
Okay, let me ask you one other issue, McDonald's. McDonald's Canada, we learned today, is moving to removing, and I should mention that just a few days ago we had the story on that it's moving to use eggs. They want only eggs from free-run chickens, no eggs from caged chickens, a move they're going to make over the next 10 years. Now, today, they're at it again, Pam. Uh-huh. They are moving to remove antibiotics used in humans from its chicken offerings by the end of 2018.
We'll see about that, Andy. I mean, when you have hundreds or thousands of creatures sardined together in a small box, you know, the bird jail, as it's called, you're going to increase the likelihood of disease, okay? And so, really, we couldn't have invented factory farms without having invented antibiotics first. So I don't know how they plan on keeping these animals healthy under such unhealthy conditions. But, you know, well, I guess we'll see what pans out over the next few years to see what they do to try and make these animals healthier. The ideal, of course, is to put them outside in nature where they belong.
Okay. But from what I understand, they're moving towards sort of a compromise. They won't be in cages, but they will still be in sort of a factory farm, a situation where it'll be free range, but it'll be indoors.
Yeah, but it's only a notch better, Andy. They're still not outside getting the vitamin D that they should be getting from the sun to support their immune system, and they won't be out, you know, scavenging in the grass, eating the weeds and the bugs and so on that they're supposed to be eating. Unfortunately, when you hear about chicken today, allegedly they're vegetarian. Chickens are not vegetarian. They're supposed to be outside eating bugs and worms. And that's how we benefit the consumer, that the chicken has been eating these bugs and these worms. And that's what's going to increase the nutrient density in the chicken or the egg. And then we, the consumer, benefit from that. So the gold standard is to put these animals back outside where they belong.
Pam Colleen, always a pleasure. Good to have you back, Pam. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Andy.
Okay, terrific.
Bye.
Okay, so those are some of the different voices. A little later on this afternoon, I'll be sharing with you an interview with the meat industry in Canada, and they pour cold water on this report, say there's nothing new in it whatsoever. But those are some of the different voices. Let me just share some of the text messages. Andy, we need more fluoride in our diet, too. I don't know if that's a little sarcasm there. Soylent Green is made of people. I don't know what that means. I thought it is only processed packaged meat, not roasts or steaks. We're going to have to park it there.